Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, they'll all pass away, but there's something about that name.
This is 32 in your hymn book. If you don't know it, God bless you.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Shelter, thirsty hills and barren land, but we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story. Understand it better by and by. Oh, trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. For we'll understand it better by and by. Often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for many a thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. Understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. For we'll understand it better by and by.
But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. Oh, we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, sing it by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the
Aren't you thankful for a promise like that? Amen. God bless you. Good to be in church again together to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And good to be gathered together with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And good to have all you home folks and all you visitors with us assembled together. We come to dedicate the building to the Lord tonight and looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us. Wanted to announce again, Lord willing, we'll be having a pitch-in meal on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that'll be at the Tunnel Hill Christian Church in Georgetown, Indiana. If you need directions or anything to that, please just check with one of the deacons after service. And then Brother Jack is going to be preaching for us tonight. And then also, again, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. For those of you that haven't heard Brother Jack Duff, he's a very close friend of ours, and you're in for a treat tonight. And for those of you that have heard him, you know that you're in for a treat too. So, and his brother Troy is with us tonight. Good to have Brother Troy with us all the way from West Palm Beach with Brother Jack this evening. So good to be gathered together to hear what the Lord has for us. And we got I wanted to share a testimony. A brother had texted me today and asked me if I'd share it. And actually another brother had texted me last night and shared a similar testimony. And last night in the service when I was talking about Nathan coming to David and David repenting, how the Lord dealt with him, a brother told me last night that he really just needed to hear that, and it really encouraged him. Another brother today asked if I'd just share it with the church, that he had been studying during his devotions that day on the very same thing and had been praying that God would just give him a heart like David's, that he could look and say he was a man after his own heart. So it was just encouraging to him. He wanted me to share that this evening. So, amen. God knows when we need encouragement sometimes, doesn't he? Amen. He knows just how to do it. And we want to continue to remember Sister Savannah Virgin's grandfather in prayer, just for a complete healing. And then also, please continue to remember Sister Tina Bryant and Treasure and Jackson in your prayers. They're still not feeling well. Also, I want to continue to remember Brother Ron Spencer's dad, Brother Charlie Spencer. He was supposed to be, Brother Ron was supposed to be with us this week ministering, but he had a funeral that he had to preach there, and then they just put his dad in the hospital. So thankfully, Brother Jack was coming in today to where he could come in and preach the dedication service for us. I thought it was very fitting. He preached our first service in the home. Our first guest minister that we had was Brother Jack. And then he also dedicated the storefront when we was there. So I think it's very fitting to have him come and dedicate the building again to the Lord. And also Sister Asteris, she's got back pain and pain in her left side. So I want to remember her in prayer tonight. And then a cousin of Brother Cole and Sister Mandy from Delaware, their baby is having trouble, a newborn baby, having trouble keeping its blood sugar stable, and had a severe stroke and is having trouble with its left side now. So I want to remember that baby, especially in prayer tonight. And then a relative of Sister Barbara Stutzman's, Amy Miller, she's only 17 years of age, but she has cancer and needs a bone marrow transplant. So these are very needy requests that we have tonight. How many of you has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with the uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Yarbrough, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests this evening?
Week has been, God, drawing closer each day to you, looking forward to tomorrow to be a little bit closer. A closer walk is my heart's desire, Jesus. Something I never get tired of is serving you, praising and worshiping your name, being with you of a day, God, and you with me, reaching down and cradling me as though I was a baby again, Jesus. Reach down tonight and touch each one of us, God. Lord, be with us. Bless us where we have many needs tonight. People, just the ones that are right here, God, have many needs. Me, I have many. Lord, but I know you're the answer to everything that I look forward to. Every desire I have, God, is to walk closer. Everything that I come against, Lord, you'll open the door. You'll open it up, and I can walk through it. Lord, we know that you're the one. You're the only one, God. Looking forward, Jesus, to this evening, to the service, God, blessing our hearts, hoping and praying each one has brought their flame, that, God, we can make a great blaze tonight to worship you as this brother comes and ministers and dedicates the church. Lord, be with each one of us, God, guiding, protecting us through the week. God, keeping your hand over us, moving over us, Jesus. Draw us that much closer, God, tomorrow than what we were today. For, Lord, we never get tired of serving and worshiping you. Be with us this evening, God. Guide and protect us. Keep us the rest of the week, Lord. And we'll praise and thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. I believe Sister Rebecca's class has a special at this time. If they would come. How many appreciates these young children?
Amen.
Amen. Well, only four of you tonight, I guess. But how many appreciates them?
Are you little children of God?
Amen. You appreciate that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I certainly appreciate Sister Rebecca and Sister Jennifer and the musicians for working with them on that. Amen. What a wonderful job you did, children. I'm sure your parents are proud. I know I'm at least one proud parent. So, amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together. If the brothers would come at this time. Amen. Sure you feel this way tonight.
Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. Oh, yes, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I'd want, and some worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, no. Journey now. Oh, there's nothing in the world that could ever take the place of God's love. All the silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His power. Then and there I would say, wouldn't take nothing for my journey. Oh, no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow, even though the devil tempts me, tried to turn me around. Oh, yes, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want, oh, some worldly fame if I could. Let's stand and sing it tonight. Oh, no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow, even though the devil tempts me, he's tried to turn me around. Oh, he'll offer everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I'd want, worldly fame if I could. Still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, we started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Since then, we've had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down. Then and there, I would say, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, no, I wouldn't take nothing for gotta make it to heaven somehow, even though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. Oh, yes, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I'd want, worldly fame if I could. Still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Shake somebody's hand while we sing it. Couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His power. Then and there I would say, would nothing for my journey now. Oh, no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Sing it to him tonight. Oh, yes, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I'd won. Worldly fame, if I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Key of B flat, and I'm going to have you change a few different keys here in just a minute. I think it was, Brother Layton would know, is it 15 years? 2001 West Palm Beach. 15 years ago, I walked into a service, and there was a guy leading songs, and he started to sing a song. It went something like this. It won't be long. Soon we'll be leaving. Oh, it won't be long.
Is that how you feel about it tonight?
We'll be going home.
Yes, Lord.
So you can count the years as much. There, Brother Stephen was there, Brother Joshua was there, Brother Anthony was there. I know Brother Layton and Sister Layton was there. How many else was there? Sister Anna Mae was there. Zion was there, but he don't remember it. He was an infant. Sister Stephanie Nicholson was, he was there. Was anybody else at the West Palm Beach meetings in 2001? Doesn't look like it, but we've got a few assembled here. It was a powerful prayer line on Saturday night. I thought, my, one of the most powerful things I'd ever seen. And then the next morning, the dead was raised. And we have a living witness of it tonight. And my God was good. It was a good time of fellowship. And Brother Jack was the song leader there at the time at Brother Wesco's. He pastors a church down in West Palm Beach that me and Brother Trevor went and preached to many times. Another song that he taught us, Key of G, Brother Joshua. He said, I belong to a church for a very long time. Every chance I got, I was always trying to get by. And one day Jesus, he came into my life. Ever since that day, my soul's been satisfied. And I feel a change in my life. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Oh, I feel his spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God who is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. Oh, I feel a change in my life. Oh, Lord, I feel your spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God very much alive. Yes, Lord, I feel a change. Oh, you feel it tonight? You feel his presence here with us? Let's sing it again. I feel a change in my life. Oh, I feel your spirit moving deep down inside. I serve
touch of life. I feel a change. Oh, let's sing it again together. Let's just praise Him for the change He made in our life. Feel a change in my life. Oh, Lord, I feel Your Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve the God who is very much alive. I feel a change. And I don't know if we've sang it this way, but they sing it this way down there. Oh, I feel a change. I feel a change. I feel a change. I feel a change. I feel a change in my life. Oh, Lord, I feel Your Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve the God who is very much alive. I feel a change in my life.
And then He taught us this, and I'm going to ask Him if He'd come tonight and help me to sing it. He taught us.
Oh, we want to say thank You, Jesus, for the grace You have given us. Though I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say that I thank You, Lord.
Come on, let's lift our hands to heaven tonight. Say thank You,
oh, thank You,
Jesus, for the grace that You have given us. And though I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say that I thank You. One more time, we're singing thank. Oh, Jesus, for the grace that You have given us. And though I can't repay, from my heart I'd like to say that I thank You. And though I can't repay, oh, and though I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say that I thank You. One more time. Though I can't repay, and though I can't repay, from my heart I'd like to say that I thank You. Let's give Him thanks tonight. Let's worship Him by clapping our hands. He deserves the glory. He deserves the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated just for a moment. I'm going to ask Brother Zion if he would just come and help me out in this song that I want to do. Brother Nathan surprised me on that one. He took me down memory lane 15 years ago. All I can just say is thank You, Jesus, because 15 years ago I met some very precious friends who have become very dear to me, Brother Nathan and Brother Trevor, and I'm very grateful for the Lord just allowing our paths to cross, and I'm honored to be here tonight. I bring greetings on behalf of my wife, my
my family, my brother's here with me. He's over here on the bass. And it's a joy for me to have my brother, amen, with me. God's just done a mighty, mighty work in his life. And, man, he's a living testimony. Amen, a living testimony. So we thank God for him. And, you know, the church back home, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, they all send their greetings to you, and they celebrate with you and what God has done for you. Amen. He's done mighty things, great things, and we're very grateful to be here celebrating. This song, amen, that I want to do here tonight, you all forgive us. We have not had a chance to practice together. But I'm trusting his gift, and he's trusting my gift. And I believe God will make it all work out. But this song is titled, Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. Tonight, we just want to bring honor and glory to our King and to our Lord. Amen. Let's try. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. You are high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the treasure of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. And thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. I say worthy is the Lamb.
Let's sing that chorus one more time.
Oh, worthy is the Lamb.
Come on, help me sing it.
Seated on the throne. Oh, we crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. You are high. Son of God.
the treasure of heaven crucified, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.
Come on, let's give him another hand of praise. He's worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Amen. Thank you. You did an awesome job, Brother Zion. Amen. God bless you. Well, if you don't mind, we'll stand and read the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Daniel. My mom and my mother-in-law wanted to make sure that they sent their greetings. They were here when Church of the Open Door was in the living room of Brother Nathan's home. And when you all were in the storefront, they were here for that. And they really wanted to be here for this weekend. Just a few turn of events just didn't allow them to make it, but they wanted to make sure that you all knew that they love you, and they sent their warmest regards to you. Amen. And so we're just happy to be representing them. Amen. But here in Daniel chapter 6, we want to read from verse 7 to 15. Praise the Lord. And I'll probably also try to read Hebrews 6, but I know that we want to do the dedication, so I'm going to try to make some adjustments on the fly here as we preach this sermon tonight. Amen. Here, Daniel 6, verse 7 says, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, the scripture tells us that they all got together and came up with this royal statute. But if we were to read a few verses earlier, we know Daniel was actually above the presidents, and he was not involved in this discussion. All right. Verse 8 says, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, which means he just did not change what he was doing. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not, so they're reminding the king now, they're reminding him of what he signed. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh this petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He was trying to find a way to get Daniel out of this, is what we get. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Amen. Turn with me also to Hebrews chapter 6. And just a couple verses here that we'll read, starting at verse 13. And we'll let you have your seats in a moment. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. The scripture says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. We thank you, O God, for the privilege of being able to read the word. But we ask that the Holy Spirit would come now and give us some clarity on what it is that we've read here tonight. We pray that your spirit would move upon the word as it's being preached to the hearts of your people. You know the conditions of all of our hearts from the pulpit to the back door. You know all of our hearts, and God, you know exactly what we stand in need of tonight. Yes. So we pray that your spirit would meet us here in the only way that you can. Yes. Our gathering would be in vain if you were not here. So we ask, Lord, that you would come and have your way now in this portion of the service. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you. You can be seated. We would like to take for a title tonight, "If God Said It, That Settles It." Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. They used to have a little bumper sticker on the back of cars where people would drive around. And it would say, if God said it, then I believe it, and that settles it. Well, I'm here to change that tonight, because if God says it, whether we believe it or not, it is still settled. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter whether you believe it. It's still going to come to pass if God spoke it. Right? No matter how long it takes, God will bring it to pass. His word, according to Psalms 119, verse 89, says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." All right? So when God speaks something, church, we can rest assured that it will come to pass. Amen. If he's giving you a promise of healing, hold to that promise. No matter how long you have to wait, you hold to that promise, because it shall come to pass. What God speaks cannot be reversed. Hallelujah, church. Amen. What God speaks, it's got to perform what he said it would perform. So you can hold on to anything that God said to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I was about a year ago, I had an opportunity, amen, to go visit some saints in a city called Moundville, Missouri. And, you know, my wife and I, we flew into this airport there, which is about 2 hours away from the church. And as we flew into this airport, you know, we rented a car and having to drive and, you know, the area that we just weren't so used to. We kind of got there at night and we trusted our reliable GPS to take us to the destination. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is the GPS had us in some places that I wasn't too sure about. I didn't have a lot of faith in the GPS, you know. But you know, we made it to our destination. And when we finally made it to the hotel there where we're going to be staying, we didn't know what city we were in. We just knew this was the hotel because this is what the GPS said we were supposed to, where we were supposed to be at. So we got there into the hotel and we checked in. But as we start looking around the hotel in the lobby area, we start noticing all types of figurines all over the lobby. And it's like, well, why are these figurines? They were precious moments, figurines all over the lobby. And as we looked at these precious moments, figurines, we began to just wonder, say, why does this hotel
have all these figurines here. What is going on? We would walk to our room, and even they had designs in the carpet and maybe little things on the doors. And, I mean, just precious moments all over the hotel. So I had no idea what was going on. So the next morning, we woke up, and we went down to the front desk, and we started asking questions. We said, why is there so much precious moments material here at this hotel? They say, you're right down the street from the Precious Moments Chapel. This is where their headquarters, this is where they actually produce all of their material. You're right down the street from that. I say, oh, my. I say, I remember Mom having a lot of the Precious Moments things in her home. And I say, maybe me and my wife should go down there and take a look at what they got going on in this chapel. And I said, let's drive down there and just kind of see. And we went down there, and when we got there, we saw a couple things here, amen, in the chapel that we were just really, really inspired by. And what I found is that the Precious Moments Chapel that's located in Carthage, Missouri, is the creation of artist Samuel J. Butcher. And this chapel that this man created, it was a gift of thanks that he was giving back to God, recognizing the many blessings that God had given him. Because he had been successful in selling his art, and because of the money that he made, he decided that I'm going to build a chapel for Almighty God. And when people come and see this chapel, all they'll see around the chapel is just things that pertain to God. Things that actually might bring glory and honor to God. This is what he had inside this chapel. When I looked around the chapel, they had windows on one side and windows on the other side. And in the windows, he would have scenes from the Old Testament that were painted, amen, inside the windows on one side. And then on the other side, scenes from the New Testament that were painted. Everything inside this chapel gave honor and glory to Almighty God. And if I think that if Samuel J. Butcher could actually dedicate a chapel that would bring glory and honor to God, what about Church of the Open Door? Amen. Everything here ought to bring honor and glory to God. The songs that we sing ought to bring honor and glory to God. The preaching that comes forth from the pulpit ought to bring honor and glory to God. The lives that we live in the pews, it ought to bring honor and glory to Almighty God. Hallelujah, church. Amen. So, as I looked around and, I saw the paintings one of the paintings showed Abraham offering Isaac, showed Daniel in the lion's den, and it showed the shepherd leaving the 99 and going after one, right? And it showed how the angel stood in front of an empty tomb. Everything brought honor to God. Amen. As we went through the rest of just the building there, we saw a couple little figurines. And what I found out is that every figurine that this man built, I mean, that he designed and sold, there was a testimony behind each one. Right. All right. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Every figurine had a testimony. Guess what? Every person that's a part of this church, you ought to have a testimony. Yeah. Oh, glory to God. Recently I was reading something. We've been studying the church ages. Thank God for Brother Trevor. We've been studying the church ages, and we were talking about, amen, this in the Philadelphian church age, because there was an open door in the Philadelphian church age. And at that time, there was a lot of ministry that was going forth, a lot of evangelism that was happening, amen, in the United States at that time. And there was one gentleman. Amen. I can't think of his name right now, but I can tell you what he preached was sinners in the hands of an angry God. Jonathan Edwards. Amen. I believe that's his name. So Jonathan Edwards, we did a little research on him, and Jonathan Edwards had he had a rule inside of his church. Now, I'm not going to encourage Brother Nathan to do that here, but I just want you to understand one of the rules that he had in his church. He said, if you could not articulate your salvation experience, then you couldn't take communion. If you could not articulate your salvation experience in Jonathan Edwards' church, then he would not allow you to take communion. Everybody in here ought to have a testimony of what God has done for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here in this chapel, we saw all these figurines, and just every figurine had a testimony. One of the figurines had a little boy inside of a car. And as he was inside the car, on the back of the car, it had a little sign that said, home going. And when you look at it, you wonder, well, why is the little boy inside the car and has a little sign that says home going? Well, what Mr. Butcher was saying is that he had a son that had passed away in a car accident. And he was saying when he passed away, he went home to be with the Lord. So he said, I put my boy in the car and I represented him as going home to be with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He had a couple other things there. You all just bear with me here tonight. I want to just share a little bit, amen, from this. But he had a couple other things that were in that room, and he had a piece of art that he told him he's not going to release this figurine until he actually passes away. Till Samuel Butcher dies, there's one figurine that'll never come to market until he actually gone. Yeah. And the name of that figurine that he's going to release, amen, is going to be called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Yeah. I thought about that. What Samuel Butcher is trying to get people to see, don't look at me. Because I had nothing to do with this. But this has been the grace of God. So don't look at anything that I've accomplished. Turn your eyes completely upon Jesus. What we're celebrating tonight had nothing to do with Brother Nathan. But this has been Almighty God. So we turn our eyes completely on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He had, in this chapel, there was one major painting that was there, and I want you to just stay with me here, and I'll be easing my way out of this. But there was a painting on the main wall. Yes. When you walk into the chapel, and the painting is titled Hallelujah Square, and what this painting is a view of heaven from a child's point of view. And so he just has all kind of things there inside this painting on the wall, this mural that's on the wall. He has a little girl that's coming to heaven, and as she's approaching the gates to enter in, she has a big tear falling out of her eye. And as she's approaching the gate, there's a sign on the other side of the gate that says, "No more tears over here." You can stop crying on that side because it's no more tears over here. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said the other thing that, you know, inside this mural, he placed different people from his family inside the mural. One of them was his son that passed away in that car accident. He put him in the mural. He had a brother that was a janitor, and he painted, you know, like a little janitor's closet, and he put his brother inside the mural. And the other thing that the painter did that I really, really appreciate is that the painter, amen, being that that was his trade, he decided to put paintbrushes all over the mural. And then he got a little section where he put himself inside the mural. And what I gathered from that is that this man was saying, I don't care what I go through on this side, I am going to make it. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. He put himself inside of Hallelujah Square even before he got there. Yeah. Oh, glory to God. I think that's very, very inspiring to me. You know, the devil is going to do everything he can to stop us from making it. But we have to already see ourselves as overcomers. No matter what your trial is, no matter what your tribulation is, you have to see yourself as an overcomer. You have to talk like an overcomer. You have to confess that you are an overcomer, no matter what you're going through. Amen. I will not be defeated. Hallelujah, church. Glory to God. So, you know, this artist, the final thing that he did, there were two final things that he did before this work was complete. And the last thing he did is his mother passed away. And he went and painted his mother and put her inside of Hallelujah Square. Pretty much saying, I know my mama made it. And after he put his mom in Hallelujah Square, he put her in on this side. And then he walked over to the other side of Hallelujah Square and he signed his name. And he walked away. Now there's significance when the artist signs their name, yes, to a piece of work. All right. Hallelujah. There's great significance, yes, when they sign their name. Yes. Now what it is, when the artist signs their name, that is the crowning achievement in that piece of art. Yes. Hallelujah. What they're saying is that the work is done. They're also saying that this work belongs to this artist. Nobody else can lay claims on it because it's been signed in the artist's name. Right. Hallelujah. if I can just say it tonight, I believe some lives in here have been signed by the great artist name, the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong to Christ. Nobody else can lay claims on you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, so it was the signature, amen, achievement, the crowning achievement, the crowning moment here. And the other great thing about when an artist signs their name to the art, once it is signed, the artist is saying they cannot add anything else, no matter how inspired he gets. No matter, some other little story might happen. He might get inspired from that story, and he might want to go put that person in Hallelujah Square. He cannot add them. Once it has been signed, it is complete.
Amen.
Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. See, I believe our lives have been signed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're already complete. God already sees us as making it.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, well, Brother Jack, you don't know what I went through today. It doesn't matter. Amen. You have been, and notice it's been signed in blood, which is something that cannot be erased. Once it's signed, you can't add anything else to it. I like that. And as I thought about that, you know, that story, it brings me back over here to the book of Daniel. And when we look at that story in scripture, praise the Lord, these guys had come up with this plan they wanted to get rid of Daniel. They were tired of his influence. You know, there in the land, they were tired of the stand that he was taking. Right? They were tired of his, just the way that he stood for his God. It showed up the darkness that was in their life. Right, so they were just really, they had to come up with the scheme. So they approached the king and say, all the princes and all the presidents and all these people, all these great people have come up with this decree, and we want you to sign it, king. And they made sure they let him know that now once you sign this, that if anybody prays to any other god in the next 30 days, they'll have to go inside the lion's den. They thought for sure that this would get rid of Daniel. We don't have to do it, but the lions will. Hallelujah. Right, so here they come to the king, and when they came to the king, they said, now, king, remember, once you sign it, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, amen, it cannot be altered. And I love the way that they did this because, you know, when they approached him and they found Daniel, the next time they went out, they saw Daniel doing the exact same thing he'd already been doing. I'm still praying.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No matter who becomes president, I'm still praying.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, church. No matter what happens in the U.S., this is not our home anyway. We come from God and we're going back to God. Amen. Nothing will be altered in our life. Hallelujah. Amen. It might bring greater things out of the bride. That's all I can say. You know, but here, you know, they said, now when you establish a king, remember the law of the Medes and Persians, once you sign it, it cannot be altered. So when they told the king, say, you know, we found Daniel. Guess what? You said that, and they first reminded him of what he signed. Remember the decree about nobody praying. You remember that, king? Oh, yeah, I remember that. All you guys got together, you presented that to me, and I remember it. He said, well, we found Daniel praying to another god. And here, you know, as the king just began to think, oh, my goodness, why would I sign something like that? Because he knew the power of his signature.
Right.
He knew the power of that signature.
Amen.
Oh, my God. You know, we sign for cars, and we sign for homes, and we sign for all kinds of things, and our signature is what binds us.
Yes.
Right. Oh, my. Yes. But you know what? There are things that happen in life where, you know what? Maybe if I lose my job, I can't uphold my signature.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And we find ways to get out of it. Amen. We find ways to kind of get out of it. But I'm going to tell you something. When something has been signed by Almighty God, hallelujah, if the law of the Medes and Persians would not let a natural king out of what he signed, what do you think is happening to a spiritual God once he says something, once he speaks something, it is settled.
Amen.
God can't take it back. God cannot find a way out of it. Once he speaks it, you can rest on it, church.
Yeah.
Glory to God. See, when I look at this scripture in Daniel, I realize that God's trying to give us a greater picture so we can understand that if the law of a king, an earthly king, is so binding, what do you think about the law of God?
All right.
It's greater. It's greater than what the law of a king. And you can even see in the scripture as we read the story, this king was looking for a way to try to get out of what he signed. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. God is not looking for any ways to get out of what he's promised you. Oh, he wants to bring it to pass. Oh, my, my, my. He gets joy out of seeing you rejoice. He gets joy out of that, right? So, you know, here when we look at this, you know, here this king is, you know, trying to find a way, and they're just reminding him. They kept going back to the king. Remind him, remember, if you sign it, I mean, the law of the Medes, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, it cannot be altered. I just love the way the scripture put it. It put it there twice for us as we read it in those few verses. It's something that we ought to get consolation with tonight, that if God has made us any type of promise, he will not go back. If you're standing in need of healing tonight, and God promised that he's the God that healeth all your diseases, then you can hold God to his word.
Amen.
Amen. If you have a wayward child that maybe has walked away from the word of God, God made you a promise that if you were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said the promise would be unto you and to your children, those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. If God said it, that settles it. In the book of Ezekiel, he promised to rebuild ruined places. I thank God for every promise. And if I was telling, you know, the church one time, I said, even if you're going through something on your job and you know God gave you that job, but somebody's coming up with something just like they came up with something for Daniel, you stand there on the word of God. Because there's a promise that says no weapon that is formed against me will prosper. But every tongue that rises against me will be condemned. That's what God said. And if God said it, that settles it. Hallelujah. I love every promise that he made. There was another promise he made, and I'm claiming it. He said wealth and riches would be in my house. If he said it, that's what it's going to be. Whether I believe it or not, God said it. That settles it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me just read a quote here for you. Amen. From the prophet. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Here out of the message, Hebrews chapter 6. Brother Branham says, immutability. The unchangeable God cannot change. He has to remain the same. And if God heal one sick person, he can never change his attitude.
Amen.
Listen, God forgive one sinner, one prostitute, he can never change his attitude. The immutability, the unchanging of God's word. God said in one place, I'm the Lord who heals all thy diseases. He has to stay with it, for he's infinite. He know to the end from the beginning. Now I can say, I'll do this. And the Bible said we ought to say, if the Lord is willing, because I'm a mortal. I don't know sometimes. I have to take my word back. That's what the prophet said. He says, but God can't take his back.
Amen.
He is God. And he only requested one thing. If thou canst believe, oh my, if you can believe, all things are possible.
Amen.
If thou canst believe, that's all. You, if you can, there's a question. He said, there's the question, but not the question is on God's word, because in his immutability, he cannot change. How wonderful. It says that, now listen, as we read on down, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible.
That's right.
And impossibility and immutability is practically the same word. Can't change, can't move, it has to stay the same forever, can't be changed, the immutability and the impossibility. And two, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have two things. Yes, first, his word said he would do it.
Yes.
Second was his sworn oath on it, he would do it. Oh my.
That's right.
He said, what type of people should we be? Why should we be tossed about and run about and taking the things of the world and acting like this 1957 streamlined model Christianity? We want to be the old-fashioned type that takes God at his word and calls those things which were not as though they were. If God said so, that settles it. Oh, what a, you know, we have something that we can bank our souls on. My, you know, there is one quote where Brother Branham said, God will bankrupt heaven before he allows one promise of his not to come to pass. Church, I tell you, I'm so glad that I serve a God that once he says it, it's settled. No matter how much doubt I might have, it is still settled. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Possessing the enemy's gates. The prophet said this, and we'll go on a little further. It says, it was a few years later, when the trials come. And the church got all shook up. As it's so easy for a congregation of people to do when something just don't seem to happen the way that it's supposed to be. And I love this quote. God makes it that way. God brings tensions into the church. I'm reading directly from the prophet. He said, God does this. Sometimes we want to blame it on the devil. Nope. God actually allowed that to happen. God brings tensions into the church. For every son that cometh to God must be tried and proven and tested. He lets sickness strike you. He lets disease come on you to test you and to prove you, to show the world that you're truly the seed of Abraham. He permits it by his own will. He permits disasters. He permits the friends to turn against you. He permits all these things and turns the devil loose to tempt you, and he'll do all but take your life. That is a powerful statement.
That's right.
Do you realize before Job had a trial, there was a conversation in heaven?
Right.
Oh, my. Before Job started going through what he was going through, God had already, amen, had this conversation with Satan and said, no, what you doing? Where you going? And say, I'm just going to and fro. He had to even stop Satan and ask him a question. Have you considered?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, maybe Satan wasn't even thinking about it.
Yeah.
But he said, he stopped him and said, right. Have you even considered my servant Job? Right. Have you considered him? I want you to give him a trial. He say, no, nah, I thought about it, but you got this great big hedge around him. It's a waste of my time.
Uh-huh.
He said, well, you know, I'll tell you what. He say, you know, I'll do this and I'll do that, and I guarantee he'll curse you and die. You take the hedge from him. I guarantee he'll curse you. He say, I guarantee he won't. Because Job is not serving me for the things that I've given him. Job is actually serving me because of the love that's in his heart. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I remember the prophet saying, he said, if I were to die and God was to send me to hell, right? After a life of service, he would have sent me to hell. He said, I would still choose to serve him. That is love that we serve God out of. Not because somebody's making us do it. But I realize that the life that I live as a Christian is the best life that anybody can live. There is no life better out there. Many of us have tried the other lives. We found out there is no better life than this life. With all the trials, with all the tests, with all the temptations, this life is still much better. 100 times better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The prophet goes on to say he will permit all these things and turn the devil loose to tempt you. He'll do all but take your life. He could throw you on a bed of affliction. He could turn your neighbors against you. Listen to this. He could turn the church against you. He can do most anything. And it's God's will for him to do it. We are taught that it's more precious than gold to us. It says, what about Abraham with Isaac? Sit on the mountain. The one the promise was given him by his loyalty and his knowing and his faith in Jehovah, it's through that and that alone that God looked down and said, his seed shall possess the gates.
Right.
I've sworn by myself that I'll do these things. There's no one greater he could swear by, but he swore by himself. Right. Then if he let Abraham be tested to that final point, he's got to test you and me to that final moment, that time of decision when everything's away from you, you have to stand alone there. Hallelujah. That's it. Amen. He was taking us back here to Genesis 22, where Abraham was having his final test. And you know, and I just love this, because during this final test, Abraham got a revelation of something that we've been holding on to in this hour. Right? And you know what happened here, this final test is, you know, Abraham believed in God for a promised son, and finally, you know, and even in his belief, you know, he listened to his wife, and he went into his handmaid, the servant there, Hagar, and they had a child, and he maybe this would be the promised son. No. When God makes a promise, we do not have to help God out.
Amen. Amen.
Every time we help God out, we actually delay the process. Right? But we don't have to help God out. And that has been a problem from that day to this day. Because Ishmael was constantly coming against Isaac. And Ishmael's seed today is still coming against Isaac's seed. Hallelujah, church. Right? You know, so as we look at that, you know, Abraham was trying to help God out, him and Sarah. And God said, no, the promise is that Sarah, thy wife, is going to have a child, right? And not Hagar, Sarah, thy wife. That is the promise that I made to you.
Amen.
So finally we get to the scripture. We realize, you know, that Abraham and Sarah had that promised son. Here's Isaac. He's born. They waited 25 years for this boy to be born. He's born, and they get to the point now where God tells Abraham in his final test, he says, I want you to bring your son to the mountain. I want you to offer him to me. Now it's supposed to be through this boy that Abraham's supposed to be the father of many nations, and you know that the seed that's going to come through this boy. So he's like, now God, if you're going to tell me to destroy the very thing that you gave me, how are you going to do this? Abraham didn't doubt like that. That's the way we doubt. But Abraham had so much faith, he said, if I were to take this boy and kill him, I believe God will raise him up.
Amen.
God made a promise, and he's going to keep it. But as we read here in Genesis 22, I just want to read a couple verses here. Starting at verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac has questions as they're going up the mountain. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I see the fire, I see the wood, but daddy, I see no lamb.
Right.
And look at what Abraham's answer is. He says, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb.
Amen.
Now, he didn't say God will provide for himself a lamb. He said God will provide himself a lamb. And what that meant was Jesus Christ was going to be that lamb that would be sacrificed in our place.
Amen.
God will provide himself. He was the lamb that was being provided.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I.
Yes.
And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. This was his final test. God said, I see you haven't held your son, your only son. He wasn't even looking at Ishmael. He's looking at Isaac.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Brother Branham told us that ram was not even supposed to be there, but God created that ram and put it there. See, when God says something, it's settled. We might not know how he's going to do it, but he is going to do it.
Amen.
I love this. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And now, you know, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord our provider.
Yeah. Right.
And Brother Branham told us that if he's Jehovah Jireh, then he has other some other compound names. And that he's all of that.
Right.
Amen. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Roha. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Tiskanu. Amen. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's all of that. Right? If he's going to be one, he's got to be all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We have a God that will hold up every one of his promises, yeah, not some of them.
Glory.
And I just love this. If you all would just follow me to Psalms 23.
Amen.
Because in these six verses, we'll find all the seven compound names of Jehovah,
yeah,
written right there in Scripture. Church, I'm here to tell you that if God said it, that settles it.
Amen.
And all you got to do is take God at his word. Whatever he spoke to you, you hold on to it. Because it will, it must, it has to come to pass. It will not return to God void. Now, this is a very familiar scripture. I'll read it really quickly. And you all could probably quote it off the top of your heads. But I'm getting a little older and I can't quote it like I used to. So just let me read it. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We read it because it's so familiar to us.
Yes.
We know it by memory. But I'd like to point out, as we read it again, the seven compound names of Jehovah that are inside those six verses.
Wow.
The Lord is my shepherd. Stop right there. Jehovah Rohi, yeah, the Lord our shepherd. I shall not want. Stop right there. The reason that you don't want is because he's your provider, Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What is that? He brings peace, Jehovah Shalom.
Yes.
My, he restoreth my soul. And when we look at that restoring the soul, Brother Branham told us that healing takes place way down at the soul level.
Oh,
Jehovah Rapha. My, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Tithkenu, the Lord, our righteousness.
Amen.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. That's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is near.
Yes.
Glory. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And I just love that because when you think about it, if your enemies have you surrounded,
yes,
how would you feel comfortable sitting down having a meal?
Whoa.
The reason that you can sit down and have a meal when your enemies have you surrounded is because he is Jehovah Nissi, your banner, your protection.
Amen.
Ooh.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Listen,
thou
preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
The seven compound names are found in those six scriptures when we carefully just read it. Every promise that God has made you, if he's Jehovah Jireh, then he's got to be Jehovah Nissi. If he's Jehovah Nissi, then he's got to be Jehovah Shammah. If he's Jehovah Shammah, then he's got to be Jehovah Rapha. If he's Jehovah Rapha, then he's got to be Jehovah Tiskanu. If he's Jehovah Tiskanu, then he's got to be Jehovah Shalom. If he's Jehovah Shalom, then he's got to be Jehovah Rohi. If God said it, church, that settles it.
Amen.
You can wrap yourself in every promise that he has made to you. Glory to God.
Amen.
The prophet made a comment here in Hebrews chapter 2. The message, Hebrews chapter 2, says, if you witness to anything, you're just as guilty as being a partaker of it. So if we witness, say, oh yes, they ought to have done this, so and so, be careful what you say, because you're guilty the way your judgment goes if you can't decide. It says don't say nothing, just leave it alone. Then when you testify that you are a Christian, then you're guilty. And there was a little statement that went around the internet. They were asking people, would there be enough evidence to convict you of your Christianity? Would there be enough evidence to convict you of your Christianity? The prophet says, when you testify that you're a Christian, then you're guilty. See, you're guilty of being a Christian, and you must live to that. And when God makes a promise in the Bible, it says, I see a man here in a wheelchair. When God makes a promise, he's guilty of that promise unless he brings it to pass. God is guilty when he makes a promise. And the scriptures are guilty until they are fulfilled. See, they're right there as a statement that God has made, and it's got to be fulfilled or God is guilty. Man. We can go to God and remind him of what he said, just like those men in Daniel's day went to the king to remind him. You signed it. You said it. You have to uphold it. So when you pray, just quote the word of God. Because bring the word right back before us. But God, you said this. No matter how you feel, no matter what you think, no matter what it looks like, just keep saying what God said in his word and watch it come to pass. Because if God said it, that settles it.
Amen.
I have two last quotes. Jehovah Jireh, the prophet, said this: if I fell heir to a house, I sure wouldn't want to move into it until I got and looked everything over. I want to see what's mine. I want to see what I own. And when I fell heir to the kingdom of God, to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, baptized into this great arcade of God's eternal blessings, I like to walk around and see what's mine. Amen. He says, look on the shelf, see what this is. Here it is. Every promise in the book belongs to every believer. Don't you stand still for somebody to push you off in a corner, give you a little cold tater. He says, and tell you to wait. Don't you listen to that stuff. God's promise is right now. Push you off in a millennium somewhere. The Bible said, now are we the sons of God. Amen. What we will be, we are now present tense. If anything that looks a little high and a blessing that looks like it, why it'll get, say, I'll get me a stepladder and move up and look at it anyhow. I like to look around. It is all yours, and every promise in the Bible is yours.
Amen.
When a Christian gets saved, God gives him a checkbook with the bottom of it with Jesus' name signed in blood. Every redemptive blessing belongs to the believer. Fill it out and send it into headquarters. Watch what happens. He's obligated to take care of his word. He says, I challenge any sick person or sinner tonight to sign your name or your wants above a check in Jesus' name and send it into heaven once. Don't doubt. The cashier is right there.
Yes, Lord.
Because the deposit was put there at Calvary through the blood.
Amen.
Of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Whatever you need, God's got it tonight.
That's right.
Whatever you need, thank God's you, got it. See, that signature means everything. When the artist would sign his work, it showed that it was finished. The signature on the check that we've received, it shows that it is finished. The signature means everything.
Yes.
It's signed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. I want to end with this story. Out of the message, Harvest Time. The prophet said, like a story I read one time, there was a doctor. He was a fine man and he loved poor people. And every time the poor couldn't pay their debts, you know what he'd done? He just signed it in red ink, you're forgiven. Finally, the doctor died. And when the doctor died, his wife was arrogant. She was different, like the church today. She went and ground them all together. She brought lawsuit and threw them all in the court. You're going to pay these bills anyhow. But the judge picked up some of the receipts and said, come here, madam. He said, is this red ink your husband's signature? She said, yes, sir, it is. said there ain't a court in the land can sue them. They are free.
Amen.
Let them say what they want to. He signed his word with his own blood. There ain't nothing can take it away from us, brother. We are free.
Amen.
Church, what, you know, that lady had no repercussions because her husband's signature said that the people were forgiven of their debt. Satan has no repercussions.
Amen.
None. Because the blood of Jesus Christ says that we are free.
Amen.
If God said it, that settles it.
That's right.
Let's pray. Father, what a promise we have here tonight. Lord, if something's been spoken by you, it's settled, it's over. No matter what mind battles might come our way, what distresses, what trials, what tribulations, if you spoke it, then it's going to happen. Just like you allowed what came into Job's life, you allowed that. But you'd already known on the other end that he was an overcomer. And God, as we read here tonight, sometimes you send tension. Sometimes you bring trials. Sometimes you allow things to happen in our life because you already know what we're made of. The word that you've placed in us will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish the very purpose and intent that you had established. We thank you for that, oh God. Help us, Lord, to rest our faith on every promise that you have made. There's nothing can stop it from coming to pass. No matter how long we have to wait on it, there is nothing that will stop it from coming to pass. God, as I've just thought about Samuel Butcher and all the things that he had there in that chapel, they were dedicated to the glory of God. God, tonight I look at everything that's here in this sanctuary. And my prayer is that it will all be dedicated to the glory of God. Father, our lives, let it be dedicated to the glory of God. Our works, our service, may it be done with charity and may it be dedicated to the glory of God. We don't want people to see us, but we want them to see you. So we ask, oh God, that you would hide us all behind your cross and that you, God, would get glory and honor out of our lives. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. And we thank you. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord Jesus a hand of praise tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight, the service was dedicated to the dedication. And we're going to begin to turn and just look at a couple scriptures and have a word of prayer over the dedication of this building. I must say that coming here must have been 5 years ago, and being there in the home of Brother Nathan, Sister Rebecca, it meant a lot to me because that's exactly how our church started back in West Palm Beach. It started in our home. And the church has been going now for roughly about 14 years. And we're grateful for all the things that God's done. We've been able to have both Brother Nathan and Brother Trevor come down many times. They have blessed our saints tremendously. My father, who went home to be with the Lord last year, I have to say that Brother Trevor was probably one of his favorite ministers. He just always appreciated the way he would come and just deliver the word of God, and he used to make very, very positive comments about Brother Trevor when he would come. And I appreciate that. But I tell you, just my own personal experience, I've had just different trials and things like that I've gone through in my own life, and God sometimes gives you certain people that he puts in your life that he allows you to just lean on. And
two of the people that I've been able to lean on is Brother Trevor and Brother Nathan. And I can tell you this, I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to sit with Brother Nathan as your pastor and try to and maybe get pastoral counsel from him. But I have used some of that pastoral counsel, and God has certainly blessed this brother, amen, to really be a true pastor. A true pastor. I love his balance on the Word of God. I absolutely love it. We've shared many things over the years, and when I sometimes just sit and listen to how he breaks things out, I say, my. You know, if I were to be absolutely honest, I'm going to say something I've never said to him. If I was living here in this area, I needed a church to go to, a church of the open door, it's a church that I would be in. Because I know what goes forth here, and I know the life behind the shepherd that you have. This month is actually Ministry Appreciation Month, and I know that Church of the Open Door has at least told their pastor how much they appreciate. Maybe a little card or something. I know you all did that. If you haven't, you still got to the 31st. Pastors need encouragement. Pastors need encouragement. Just a little card sometime, just a little text sometime, just saying, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I appreciate it. If a message comes across and it blesses you, please just tell him, I appreciate that. It means it's fuel to help him keep going on. Because sometimes the devil will beat us up. The devil said, nobody enjoyed anything you just said. Why don't you just close your Bible and stop? We hear that type of talk from the devil. We have to keep pressing through that. So sometimes when you just say, I appreciate what you just said, I appreciate that, it gives us fuel and it gives us the strength just to keep pressing on. So please make sure you take time to appreciate your pastor. You know what? I found out that denominational churches that do not have this truth that we have actually respect one another a lot better than the way that we respect each other. Churches shouldn't be that way. We ought to appreciate one another. We ought to show our appreciation in whatever way we can. Tonight, I asked your pastor to come, and we're going to read a couple scriptures, and then I want to read a couple quotes, and we want to dedicate this new building, man, from the house to the schoolhouse. Is that right? I didn't make it to the schoolhouse, but I made it to the storefront. And then I heard about the tender hand of Jehovah. How he moved you out of the storefront because a restaurant that was supposed to be coming that never came pushed you all out of the storefront to another church. And while you were there in that church just worshiping and praising God, I was trying to get here to see that one. But God said, no, that's not the church that I got for Church of the Open Door. He allowed somebody to buy that right from under church. Tender hand of Jehovah pushing you on a little further. And he brought you here. What a mighty God we serve. And church, don't ever forget how God has moved amongst you. This is nothing but the hand of God. It's not Brother Nathan. This is the hand of Almighty God. And I want to tell you, each one of you that have contributed to making this a success, God richly bless you. God bless you. Tonight we're going to dedicate this building, but greater than the building is the people that are inside the building. We want you to be dedicated to the service of the Lord. So as your pastor comes, we're going to read a couple scriptures, and then I'm going to read a couple quotes, and we will proceed with the dedication. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. So I was listening to, or actually just going back over a message that Brother Branham actually preached here, a dedication of the building of the Lord out of Cleveland, Tennessee. And when he did the dedication of that church there in Cleveland, he had the pastor come up and read the scripture to be a part of the dedication. So Brother Nathan said, no, you read it. I said, no, Brother Branham had the pastor. So I'm going to do it the way the prophet did it, and we're going to have the pastor. You appreciate your pastor?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read it. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. All the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. They brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, these did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered before the multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves of the ark, that the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, and with the sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever and ever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we see there in the scripture that after they got everything finished, how, you know, Solomon just set everything up. And I tell you how the glory of the Lord just kind of came into the house. But there'd be a purpose for the glory of the Lord coming into the house. It's not coming into the house to rest on the pews. But the glory of the Lord comes into the house to rest on the people. Amen. Brother Branham said, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, 'Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? What is the place of my rest?'" Brother Branham said, "And God hiding himself in simplicity, he said, now thinks it's our duty," because the outside looks beautiful, "but it says our duty to make the inside right by the grace of God. To be so grateful to God that this will just not only be a beautiful building that will come to, but may everyone who comes in see the beautiful characteristic of Jesus Christ in every person that comes in." Say, may it be a consecrated place to our Lord, a consecrated people, for no matter how beautiful the structure is, that we certainly do appreciate the beauty of the church is the character of the people. Amen. Is our trust it'll always be a house of God of beauty. Now, I read that scripture, and I was supposed to have your pastor read it. I'm sorry. But if you all would turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 7. Verse 44.
The beauty of the church is the character of the people. The glory of the Lord coming into the house, not to just rest on pews, but to rest on people.
It says our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers into the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest?
The prophet says here in the message dedication, he says, what a shame, what a disgrace, what a dispose that Nimrod's man-made achievement was brought to then. When Nimrod tried to build a building or an organization that would reach up to heaven, God upset it. Mm-hmm. It became a shame. Instead of helping man, he confused the language of man so one couldn't speak to another. It broke up brotherhood. But when God came to his own temple, the church, the people, when he came to them, he filled it, the temples that were dedicated, just like he did at Solomon's temple. He filled it not with creeds, not with denominations, but with himself.
Amen.
He filled the temple with his Shekinah glory. So did he do on the day of Pentecost. He filled them 120 temples that was up there with himself, with the Holy Ghost itself. The Shekinah glory broke through upon them. And I pray that's what would break through Amen. On us tonight. And then what Nimrod failed to do, built a temple where every man spoke contrary to what he could understand. God came down and with one Galilean language made every man understand what he was saying and what it was. So there's God to his temple, God to his dedicated temple, not to a man-made achievement, not to what man done, but what God did himself. Oh, it's silly to the people. They don't get it. They were born not to get it, so they won't get it. The Bible said so. All right, God always fills his temple. At the day of dedication, he fills his temple. He fills it with himself. The same thing today, God will fill every temple that will thoroughly dedicate itself to him. Any persons that will, the temple is not this little building here. The temple is not the one in Salt Lake City. The temple is not the one in Rome. The temple is you. You are the temple that God wants to dwell in and express himself through it that all nations might know him. You are living images of God that God wants to work through. And any time that any man or any woman will forget all the falsehood that they've heard in the world and come back to the line of the scripture and will keep in line just like Solomon did to what Moses did to what God did, God always respected it. Listen. And if we will come back to the original dedication and we'll open our hearts and empty ourselves, God and dedication, as we give it to him, will fill our temple with his Shekinah glory. Then the living God will be a moving and a living church among a living people and will spread forth his glory. Then together someday, one being this way and one this way and one in one part of the country, she'll come together and make the bride. We'll be caught up in the air to meet him. Now this lovely church, this building that the people with their tokens of their livelihood, with their love for Christ, the worshipers has dedicating today this place of worship that people could come and worship. Now, my sincere prayer is that every worshiper, I like this, every worshiper will dedicate his own temple to worship in the temple that's been dedicated for worship. Can I say that again? Our prayer is that every worshiper will dedicate his own temple to worship in the temple that's been dedicated for worship. That's the real dedication. As we go on here, the prophet invited everyone just to stand to their feet. And I'll read a prayer that the prophet prayed in the dedication of the building to the Lord, but did you want to invite us?
I just want the minister brothers to come up with us, if they would. Brother Trevor, Brother Arnie, Brother Buckles, Brother Hoover, any other minister brothers that I might have missed. And my deacons and trustees, I want you to come up too, if you don't mind, tonight.
Brother Branham did something here in this message, dedication of the building to the Lord. And I want us all to take ourselves on the scene tonight. He said, while we pray as Solomon did, the dedication prayer, may the congregation stand with their hands and pray in your own way. So this prayer is not just for the brothers here, but the congregation was supposed to enter into prayer. Amen. As well. If there was ever a time to pray, this is that time to pray. If there's ever a time to dedicate yourself, this is that time to dedicate yourself. We want the worshipers to dedicate themselves as we dedicate this building to the Lord. So as we pray, and I'm going to read this prayer from a gospel prophet, I want you all, and Brother Branham says, he actually says this, he says, in your own way, let's dedicate ourselves with this temple to glory. He says, let every person raise your head to heaven now as you dedicate yourself to God as we pray. Let's all pray together. I'm going to read a prayer, but I want you all to dedicate yourselves to the Lord while I'm praying. Amen. Let's do this. Almighty God, we come into thy presence, bringing to thee the works of the hands of the children of men. This tabernacle that tears and sacrifice and labors has brought its materials. Careful hands has designed it and made it a place, and upon their hearts was the same burden that was on David's heart. It's not right for us to worship in this old dilapidated shack when many of us live in good homes. Oh, Lord God, let it be so that the same Holy Ghost and the same articles of God will be preached in the antitype now in this tabernacle. May the Holy Spirit move today and come in through the doorway and settle upon everyone. May the power of the living God be in this tabernacle. May it always stand to the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we commit it to you. The works of the hands, the labor, the toils, the cares. Lord, may it not be in vain, but may people realize it's dedicated message this evening to you in the dedication of the tabernacle. May it be, Lord, that your spirit will come into this place. May every man or woman that's out of Christ, when it walks through the door, may it recognize that is coming under the blood. May there be such a feeling here of the blessedness of Christ, the sweetness of the Spirit, until men and women will flow from all parts of the city and around about to hear the gospel from here. May this congregation be so seasoned and salted with the baptism of the Holy Ghost until they'll be called the salt of the earth. Grant it, Lord. Hear our prayers this evening. Not only do we give you this tabernacle, but we give ourselves to you in service for this tabernacle and for this cause in which it stands for. Oh God, receive us tonight. We are your children. We stand here tonight to our feet. Our hands are up. Our eyes looking up because we believe that the Holy Spirit is present. Hear us, Lord, and receive our prayer and receive our commemoration of your goodness. The works of your hands as we present it to you. May the power of God take our sacrifice and take us with it and dedicate both tabernacle and congregation to the kingdom of God and the work of his son. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name as we give it to you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. God richly bless you. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you, brothers. Amen. You can be seated for a moment if you'd like. Sure appreciate Brother Jack coming and being part of this dedication service with us and all of you that's here tonight. I know it's a little late, so I won't keep you long, but I was just thinking of, as he was talking there, about how each person has a testimony, and I don't have time to go into all of them tonight, but just to look around and see so many of the faces. And I was telling Brother Jack today on the way back from picking him up at the airport how I was thankful that God didn't call me to take over a church somewhere, but he called me that we could grow a church and that we could get to know each family a family at a time, and where you're at and what you came from and what your names are, and be able to relate to you and feel like we're family. And I thank God that he did it that way. That wasn't what I had in mind at all, but it was what he had in mind. I'm thankful that that he allowed me to be a part of it. And just looking around at different things, you know, different families, how they came and the testimonies behind it, and how God would lead them and guide them through different decisions and different things. Even this pulpit here is a testimony how that we got it, and just on and on and on. I could talk all night of things that God has done. As Brother Jack said, it was him that did it. It wasn't me. I was just somebody that was standing there that had enough sense to just keep moving when he would tell me to, and just to try to provide an atmosphere where people could come and to where they could enter into a worship with God. And we give him all the glory and the praise for what he's done. And I'm so thankful to see so many families that have been healed physically and spiritually, emotionally, and just different things that they've gone through, and to see them where God's brought them from to where they're at now. It takes God to do that. Amen. Amen. So I'm thankful tonight, and we love the Lord. We certainly appreciate you. And let's just worship him for a little while together, and just let his presence just fill this place, as Brother Jack was saying, not only the physical building, but us. Amen. May he come and just fill us tonight.
Oh, Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all. The kingdom's of my heart. Let's sing it this way tonight. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's of my heart. Jesus, be the Lord. Oh, Jesus, be the Lord. Way again tonight. I didn't deserve it. He saved. Has he been good to you tonight? Let's sing it again together. My God is so good. Yes, Lord. God is so good. He answers prayer.
Texted me earlier today and said that he had lost his hearing aid and they were concerned. It was, you know, when if you have hearing problems, that's something that's very important to you. And we had prayer and testimony came in tonight that he was able to find it. So praise the Lord. Amen. You say that? Well, that's something so simple. Well, God's concerned about the simple things. He's concerned about the big things. He's concerned about the medium-sized things. He's concerned about your needs tonight. There was a man one time lost some mules, and God showed a prophet where it was at. There was a man that we know his family very well. He'd lost a car one time, got stolen. Prophet showed him where it was at. Man lost some keys one time, had privilege to meet him. God showed the prophet where it was at. Brother Jack's wife lost a cell phone one time. You remember that, brother? Couldn't find it anywhere. We looked through a rental car up and down and over, and we had a word of prayer. I said, Lord, you showed a man where his mules was one time. Showed a little Indian boy where his ponies was one time. We went back and looked. We'd already looked there three times, and it was right there. Amen. Sister Stephanie lost her wedding ring. And they prayed, and when they stood up, it fell out of her mom's skirt right there on the floor. They'd been searching all over the house. But I don't believe it was in her skirt. I believe God just put it there during the prayer. Brother Billy Paul said he was walking on the beach with his wife one day, and she got back to the hotel and lost her wedding ring, couldn't find it. And he said he went back and forth, praying on the sand. They'd walk for miles. How are you going to find a ring in a bunch of sand? So he just knelt down, dug his hands in the sand. He said, Lord, it's something that's important to her. When he brought his hand out, that ring was on his hand. What's your need tonight? We serve that same God tonight. If he's mindful of a ring or a hearing aid or a cell phone or some donkeys or some ponies, how much more your needs tonight? Is he mindful? Those are just natural things. We appreciate God being mindful of the natural things too. Sometimes they're necessary to us. But if he's so concerned about the natural things, to show a prophet or to answer a prayer about something like that, what about your spiritual needs? What about your physical needs? What about the emotional scars in your life? He's concerned tonight. Amen. Let's sing this together. Brother Jack was preaching all around, and I thought I'd sing it for him tonight. Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. Yes, Lord. You are more than enough. Oh, you feel his presence here tonight. Jehovah. Yes, Lord. Oh, you're my healer. It's by your stripes. Whatever you have need of tonight. Oh, I've been set free. Jehovah. Important part. Oh, you supply, Lord, you supply all my needs. Oh, you are more than enough, Lord. You're so much more than me. Oh, yes, Father. Tonight, I know there's many needs. I don't know all the needs. I know some of them. I know there's some that are on insulin. They'd like a touch from the Lord tonight. I know there's some that have physical needs in their body. They need a touch from the Lord tonight. I know there's some that have loved ones on their heart. They need God to come on the scene. There's some that maybe have financial problems. Maybe they don't know how they're going to get around it or through it or over it. He's our provider tonight. I know there's some that maybe the toils of life have just discouraged you and wore you down and tore you down. You don't feel like you can hardly put one step in front of the other. He's our provider tonight. He's our provider. Maybe you've got problems in the home. Maybe you've got problems at work. Maybe you've got problems at school. Maybe you've got problems in your family. I don't know what it is tonight, but I know He's able. The same God that would be concerned about some of these things we talked about earlier, how much more is He concerned about your needs, of things that you have in your life, things that you're facing, things that affect you every day of your life? Maybe Satan tries to beat you up over the head, make you feel like you're not worthy, like you can't hardly go to church, or like you're not saved, or like you'll never make it. I want to remind him he's a liar tonight. And greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Greater is He that's in us. Satan can huff and puff and he can do whatever he wants, but we serve a mighty God tonight. He's the God of your circumstances. I said it Wednesday night, I'll quote it again. You can either let your circumstances dictate how you look at God, or you can let God dictate how you look at your circumstances. Amen. May you look through eyes of faith tonight. May tonight be your night. May it not just be the dedication of a building, but as Brother Jack said, may it be the dedication of your life. May it be a rededication. Those of you that have already dedicated your lives, may we rededicate our lives to Him anew. To be more like Him. To have more of His Spirit in our life. To have more faith. To have more joy. To have more peace. These are the things God wants us to have. Satan wants to rob them from us, but God wants us to have victory. He's here tonight. Amen. I believe His presence is moving. Why don't you just, if you've got a need tonight, why don't you just stand up and accept by faith whatever you have need of? You need healing? Why don't you stand up and claim it tonight? You need financial relief? Why don't you stand up tonight? You've got emotional scars that people have hurt you all your life and tore you down, and you can look back to your childhood, to your school days or church days or whatever it was, and scars in your life that people have done things to you and hurt you and tore you down. Jesus Christ is the healer of scars. I don't care if they're physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever they are. He's a healer tonight. He doesn't just heal cuts or bruises or spiritual needs, but He can heal our minds. He can heal our emotions. Every fiber of our body, He wants us to have victory. He wants us to have peace. He's here tonight. Amen. Let's just sing it again to Him tonight. We'll have a word of prayer in just a moment, but I just want to worship Him a little while tonight. He's worthy of it. Oh, let's sing it together. Oh, Jehovah Jireh, You're my provider. Oh, You are Lord. Yes, Father. Jehovah Rapha, for whatever sickness you're facing, oh, He's our healer. It's by Your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, Lord, You are with me. Oh, You supply all my needs. Yes, Lord. Oh, You are more than enough, Lord. You're so much more. Oh, yes, Lord. As they play that softly, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, You've seen these that have stood to their feet. Lord, by faith, they've accepted what they have need of. Lord, no doubt things on their minds that, Lord, that they need deliverance from, that they need victory over, that they need healing for. Lord, maybe family members and loved ones that have strayed. Lord, they had something on their heart when they stood by faith. Lord, may You honor their faith tonight. Lord, as Your word said in Hebrews there, Father, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We may not see them. We may not be able to tangibly, Lord, have a confirmation that we've received, but faith reaches out and it accepts things by faith, Lord, that we can't even see. We can't even explain how it'll happen or how it'll take place. But may faith anchor down tonight into the hearts of the people, Lord, to accept that every promise in the book is theirs. If you spoke it, Lord, we believe it, and that settles it, Father. Lord, Paul said, even if we didn't believe, even if some didn't believe, would that hinder God? He said, God forbid. But Lord, we do believe tonight, and we accept what you've done for us. We accept by faith the promises that you've laid in your word for us. Lord, if there's any sick, you said, oh, that you're our healer. You're the Lord that healeth us, Lord. Whatever the disease, whatever the sickness, whatever the infirmity. Lord, if there's those that feel lonely or depressed or discouraged tonight, Father, you said that you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, that you'd be with us, that you'd be a guide unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, may you be with each situation. Lord, you promised you'd provide for us. You didn't promise us mansions and Rolls Royces, but you said you'd provide for our necessary things, Lord. We're trusting in you tonight. We have confidence in you tonight, Lord. For every need that each person is facing. Lord, maybe they've got loss in their life. Maybe they've lost loved ones. Maybe they've got scars of, Lord, just burdens and tears and separations and things where Satan's tried to tear them down and beat them down, Father. But may you comfort them tonight the way that only you can. May you bring a peace that only you can. May you bring victory to your bride that only you can, Father. Lord, we're a needy people tonight, but you're a God that hears and answers prayer. Lord, just make yourself known to us tonight, Father. Lord, as Moses said, just show us your glory, Lord. We want to see your glory. Lord, we don't ask for riches and fame. And Lord, we don't ask for all these things, but just show us your glory, Lord. Lord, may your presence just abide with us, not only in this building, but Lord, as we go to our homes and our schools and our jobs. Lord, may your presence just abide with us, Father. May you help us, lead us, and guide us. Lord, help us to follow you each step of the way. Lord, we don't know where to go and where to turn sometimes, but may we just step inside those bloody footprints, Lord, that are leading us on. Lord, you'll never lead us wrong. You'll never discourage us. You'll never forsake us, Lord. I've never picked up my Bible and walked away discouraged, or picked up a book or a tape and walked away discouraged, Father. But you give us encouragement in the time of need. You give us strength when we don't have any strength left to go on. Oh, Father, how we thank you tonight for your mercy and your grace to us. Thank you for your presence here. We love you tonight, Father. Thank you for all that you've done, Lord. Thank you for providing us a place where we could worship. Lord, we're so undeserving, Lord, but you've done so much. Lord, you've brought us a mighty long way, Father. You've brought us through many dangers, toils, and stripes, Father. But Lord, your grace that brought us this far, we believe it can continue to lead us on, Father. Be with us tonight, Father, we pray, Lord. May you answer, Lord, the desire of each heart in your own special way, in your own special time, Father. May you move on the scene for each one, Father. Lord, we pray and ask it in your name. Father, there's no other name that we could turn to. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things, believing that when we ask, we receive, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Brother Jack's aunt, Sister Brenda Lewis, she wrote a song that we sing here very often, and I feel it's appropriate tonight. Whatever you stood for tonight, Satan may try to lie to you as soon as you hit this back door and say, you didn't get nothing. You didn't get nothing. You didn't really feel nothing. Why don't you tell him tonight he's a liar? Because it's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. We praise your name. This battle is over. Victory. It's already done. Let's sing it again to him tonight. Oh, I know it's already done. Whatever you're facing. Oh, I know it's already done. We praise your name. This battle is over. Lord, the victory is won. It's already done. Oh, but I'm facing
trials tonight, Brother Nathan. Oh, but I shall overcome. Oh, hallelujah. I know I shall overcome. And I'll praise his name. Oh, my battle is over. Oh, the victory is won. Because it's already done. But my family is straight, Brother Nathan. No, you tell the devil, my family is sealed. Oh, hallelujah, my family is healed, so I praise his name. Oh, that battle is over, victory is won. Oh, but Brother Nathan, you just don't know how far they've gone. Why don't you apply the token tonight? Oh, my family is healed. Satan, I want to remind you. Oh, but the doctor said I have no hope. He said there's nothing more he can do for me. Oh, but I'm already healed. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I'm already healed. So I'll praise your name. The battle is over. Victory is won. But some test results came back really bad. It's okay. He already paid the price at Calvary. So I'm already healed. I don't care what the chart said. I don't care what the x-ray said. Oh, I praise his name. Oh, this battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I know it's already done. Brother Nathan, oh, it's already done. I've been depressed. Satan's been trying to weigh on my mind and discourage me. It's already done. Just praise his name. Oh, your battle is over. Your victory is won. Because it's already done. But I don't have the strength to go on any longer, Brother Nathan. Oh, but we shall overcome. By the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, this battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Let's sing it this way again together. Oh, I know it's already part of the dedication service. I'm not afraid to It's my desire to help someone today, someone who might have faith to see this way. See, I too once, I was so lost.